Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello everyone and welcome to edition 257 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula 1. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK, where Team Lotus thrived. Martin Brundle learned to ride with stabilisers, I'm guessing, although maybe you could just ride without them, he's so damn good. And George Russell shares a coffee with Alex Albon, although Alex is probably crying over what might have been, maybe spilt milk. We are sat at the delightful Rushcutters Public House on the outskirts of Norwich. We are going out on Future Radio, as we have been all year, as well as across all our podcast channels. And in our eighth season, we are here to review the 2019 Brazilian Grand Prix. If you are listening on Audio Boom and all our free feeds, hello there. We have got for you our race recap, and we'll also have a little look ahead to the final race of the season. If you are listening as one of our Patreons, hello there. Thanks as always for your support. Coming up, the NRF1 pit stops, our of the weekend awards, and of course a little bit more F1 chatter. We might even throw in a race rating for you. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. A very good evening to you. Joining us on tonight's pod here at the Rushcutters, we have Damon Hill, radical and blogger, Blogs on Wheels, Richard Baxter.
Good evening.
And Lewis Hamilton fanatic, so he must be in a good mood, Steve Rust.
Hello.
How you doing, Steve? You well?
Yeah, good, thanks, yeah.
Well, good. Glad. We're going to get stuck into all the things that have happened, of course, in recent weeks. But we will start off with our review of the action in Sao Paulo, where, of course, Max Verstappen pulled off a fantastic win. Redemption. We had a cracking finish to the race and loads of other stuff going on. We know, obviously, all the titles are put aside, but it felt like there was an air of freedom to everyone in Brazil, Steve, and that made for quite the finish.
Yeah, I think it's a typical sort of race you'd expect after a championship's wrapped up. You know, there's just everybody just kind of lets it go. It wasn't a bad race. I think there were parts of it which was sort of sending me to sleep because I was rather tired from work. But you know, the end was pretty good. You know, I mean, you kind of at one stage didn't quite know at least how the top five would finish. I think for me, I could see Verstappen was going to win it. But yeah, I mean, it was a good. We nearly got a change of second place, although most people assumed, like myself, a penalty would be in store for Hamilton. So even if he did or didn't, he'd be finished further back on the final reads. But yes, it was good. It was a good race. I enjoyed it.
There was a lot happening, wasn't there, Rich?
Yeah.
By the end, I mean, I agree with Steve. It was kind of bumbling along for a big period up until the last however many laps.
Yeah, I mean, the start was quite interesting, and it was all going down to a strategy game. And then at the end, it came alive. It was chaos. I've never shouted so much during a Grand Prix. I did have some wine, which probably wasn't to do with it.
Is that a snack watch?
We'll be here forever. I'll tell you all the snacks we had. So much.
But, I believe you didn't invite us around, as Ruth.
Well, you probably could. It was my mum's birthday, so...
You would have gone around for your mum's birthday.
Yeah.
She's a big F1 fan. I know your dad is.
Yeah, my dad is. My mum just kind of puts up with it, so... pretends she's interested. Yeah. But no, I mean, I was sat there, you know, shouting... safety car, and the Ferraris, of course, with their implosion. I was just screaming at it. I couldn't believe it. And yeah, I was sat on the floor in front of the fire as well, just so excited with this race that was unfolding. I loved it.
So yeah, the safety car that kind of concertina the whole field, which is probably quite a key one, that came when Valtteri Bottas's engine gave up, didn't it? And he parked it beautifully, took it completely out of the way. And then you kind of think, oh, somehow you've managed to turn that into an actual safety car. And not only that, but one that lasted quite a fair time so they could get everything sorted on the track. Now, I did read the FIA explanation that was on Autosport and, you know, took into account that as soon as a crane is involved, which was needed because for some reason the car was beached, then they had to use a crane to move it, and therefore that took, you know, the time. And then they had to wait for the order of the cars to sort themselves out, which I guess is a little, you know, because normally would they have waited, or would they have just got the racing on when they were halfway around the track? I don't know. But I mean, purely brilliant, absolute safety. You can't complain about the reasoning there. But I mean, it did help that it took quite a while and got everything together and reordered it. I mean, it's a brilliant reason, but also a very useful result of it all as well.
I mean, as an amusing thought, I thought of it at the time when I was watching it, because obviously it was Bottas who then finished up. It reminded me back to Singapore. I reckon you, Rich, would know the year. Fernando Alonso was at Renault and then joked and went, safety car. I mean, obviously they didn't win the race with Hamilton anyway, and they actually made their own mess of that call. But I just kind of just reminded me of that and laughed. But yeah, I mean, I was a bit... I didn't expect a safety car. I thought maybe double wave yellows or something like that. I think they could have brought out a virtual safety car, you know.
Are you glad they didn't, though?
Oh, yeah, mixed it all up. I mean, it made it great. I mean, maybe the marshals or the stewards who have made these decisions had sort of thought, oh, well, it's the end of the season. Let's just throw a safety car out and mix it all up.
I mean, I guess some people look at it and think that that's questionable in terms of integrity of the racing, but I don't know if I really care about that. I mean, rules are rules, aren't they? If you're developing something that is quite handy for the race and we all end up getting on the edge of our seats going, oh, hello, then do we care?
No. Simple answer. I was watching the race and I could see the way Bottas parked it up, you know, saying, yeah, it was nice and everything, but it was just on the inside of quite a fast corner, and the marshals had to get, you know, within a few yards of the track to clear the car. That I wouldn't be comfortable there, you know. If someone gets it wrong and comes careering across that way, and all it takes is a wheel failure, yeah, or something, they could end up over there, you don't know.
Yeah.
But safety car, full on safety car, get it out of there. I mean, the only blight was, you know, this unlapping. The lap drivers can unlap themselves, and it's like, I like it. I think it's a great rule because it gets them out of the way, and it means that the race is alive. Everyone is fighting for position. But something just does my head that, can you not just let them pull over to the right or something, or every other, you know, the safety car stops the leaders, because you end up losing three laps, yeah, while they go past everyone.
You could do it the other way around, I suppose, couldn't you? Rather than letting the lap cars through,
yeah,
you could almost actually take the lap cars to one side, let them file in order. They should be clever enough to sort that out. That's a fair point.
I mean, if not, the other rule they have is the safety car speed limit. So the track's clear, so they say lap cars can overtake themselves, but then they have to still obey this kind of speed limit behind the safety car. And it's like, yeah, if it's clear, let them get the pace up and round. Okay, they might warm their tyres more sufficiently for the restart or something, but it's more action for us. I won't complain. That's the only one little thing, you know, save us a few laps behind the safety car. But I mean, it delivered, and the strategy calls under the safety car as well, you know, with Hamilton's, you know, saying do the opposite of Verstappen. And I was thinking, soft tyres, I saw, you know, there's 15 laps, the way the softs were handling, I thought it was going to be a bit touch and go whether they'd, you know, last all the time. And then I was thinking maybe come in just new tyres though under the safety car might be okay for a laps, and he didn't, you know, and he risked it, and of course second safety car later on. And he did it, and it was even more action.
There was even more action. And how quickly did they turn around that safety car? Well, yeah, by the end of it, it's like, oh, he's gone in, and oh, off you go. I mean, it was literally within about 20 seconds they decided that.
I think it was Stroll under the safety car had a suspension failure as well, so his car was stuck on the track as well, so had an extra car to clean up.
Yeah, exactly. And they ignored that probably to a degree, but I'm not going to hammer them because that, you know, probably got everyone was safe and it worked out all right in the end, didn't it? So what was the second safety car for again? Was that the Ferrari? It was a Ferrari. Well, we'll probably talk about that in a little bit, but I just want to reflect on Max, because that's once again a situation where I think Red Bull were pretty brave with the strategy. It paid off. They got him in the right position, as always. Max is good enough generally to deliver, especially when Esteban Ocon isn't diving up the inside to unlap himself, which of course was the huge talking point in Brazil last year. So Honda as well had a fantastic weekend of it. Admittedly, a few people fell by the side, but they clearly have a very quick engine, you know, in relation to the others as well. I guess what I'm saying is, can next year, can they do something that just means that Max isn't an also-ran, which ultimately he has been this season?
Yeah, I mean, you never know. I think, you know, looking ahead for me, I think the 2021 rules, which I'm looking forward to, I think it'll be really interesting, but I think it's almost for me just come along a little bit too soon, because I think the field has now just started to kind of squish up, especially at the front. You know, I think it's getting like more and more difficult for teams like Mercedes to try and keep ahead, or at least keep some sort of a margin. Because I mean, Red Bull are quite seemingly on a lot of tracks quite close, maybe faster than Ferrari has been, but then there's been times when the Ferrari have been faster, but there was that little issue a few weeks ago that it was brought up by the FIA from a complaint from Red Bull. I mean, whether there was much truth in that, whether that made any difference, who knows. But yeah, I mean, it's for next year, they could be in contention. I mean, they've won 4 championships, haven't they, from before. You know, I think Adrian Newey's still in the mix there with the team. I mean, you see the most races there, so quite possibly, yeah. I mean, they're still one of the bigger teams, probably still similar budgets to probably sort of the likes of Ferrari. Obviously not Mercedes, but then you've got the budget caps coming in 2021, so they'll all be pretty equal anyway, or should be.
Yeah, it was interesting to see, you know, with the Honda engine this weekend, when Hamilton was following, and he was like, I want more power. And it's like, have we ever heard the Mercedes-powered car say he wants more power to overtake a Honda power car? It doesn't happen. And they were talking about the altitude Mercedes this weekend and complaining about how their car handles it and stuff. It's like, but Mexico's higher. I mean, you did all right there. It baffled me why they suddenly had these problems.
It depends on what downforce package they're running, because if you're running a lot more downforce levels, then you're going to be slower on the straights, and you could have a more powerful engine, but you're just going to be slower. I mean, if Red Bull were running a lot less wing, you know, then a slippy package, and they are going to be quicker, you know.
It's an interesting dynamic between Ferrari and Red Bull going forwards, because, you know, ultimately Red Bull have got a much, saying this to someone earlier today, Red Bull got a much better pedigree and muscle memory for recently of success, of championships. You know, Ferrari have been in a bit of a hole for probably 10, 15 years now. So, you know, you can imagine that Red Bull probably have a slightly more considered handle on how to deliver the success they want. Quite clearly, Mercedes will remain in prime position, I'm sure, going into next season. Toto Wolff wasn't there at the weekend. First race he's missed in 6 years, I think, but they're not complacent. He just thought, we won both titles, so I've got some important stuff to sign, I guess.
That was one relieved desk that he had with all the, you know, the amount of punching, and with Bottas's retirement and Hamilton's, you know, excursions on track and his penalty and everything. I mean, that desk would have had a few holes in, I think, by the end of the race.
It's a shame, isn't it? You know, McLaren picked up their first podium in God knows how long. I'm sure you guys
since
do.
2015.
After Lewis was penalised for his effects on Alex Albon, which also we'll talk on in a bit. But it's a shame that McLaren didn't get to celebrate in real time, I suppose. And also Lewis got to celebrate a podium that he now doesn't have. There's never any way around that, though, is there, ultimately, I guess?
No, not really, because, I mean, the stewards couldn't make the decision fast enough. It was very late in the race. It has happened before and happened again. But, I mean, McLaren, it would have been nice to have seen them on the podium. I think they're almost, these days, the forgotten team in most F1 fans' eyes, really. Maybe if they still had their previous livery, you know, they would... Yeah, the old silver and red, they might not be so forgotten, but yeah, I mean, there's sometimes you just completely forget they're actually there, really, because they haven't been at the front consistently for a lot of years now.
I'm really not a fan of the papaya, by the way. I know you guys are, but
I like it. It's bright, it's different, and you know, something else. But what was nice, I do think, you know, McLaren, they got the podium finish. They weren't on the podium after the race, but the stewards, after the decision had been announced, let the whole McLaren team, you know, every member of the team, go onto the podium. They had bottles of champagne and they stood on the podium and had their own celebration afterwards. Obviously there was none of the other drivers there or the anthems or anything like that, but they were still allowed on the podium to have their moment. I thought that was a really nice touch. And if you've seen it on Instagram, you can see, you know, we've seen, let's say, in the past, teammates who aren't exactly the best, and you look at Sainz and Norris, and they are potentially the best teammates in the, you know, in the world of teammates. They are actual mates, you can see on and off track. and they're bloody good races too.
Yeah,
they're not bad, are they? They're not bad. Brilliant stuff. Okay, well, there are loads of ways to get hold of us here at the NRF1 podcast. You can email us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Make sure you have a look at us over at patreon.com, patreon.com/NRF1. We can join the club and get exclusive access to our full podcast editions and some other bits and bobs, I'm sure. And of course, we are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The handle for all three is @NRF1. Now, if you're listening to E257 and you want to hear our NRF1 pit stops and our of the weekends, then make sure you head over to patreon.com/NRF1 where you can access our full podcast edition. But for now, let's have a chat ahead of the final race of the season.
Hello, everyone. This is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Abu Dhabi, then. Final race of the... I can't believe that. All 21 races. It's been a long season for us as well. I think we've just about got through there. It's probably a good point to say that we will be doing a review of the Abu Dhabi action as usual, and then we will do a season review podcast probably a week after that, when we generally have a Christmas meal, and then waffle on, and DT will be back and review all the stuff. Rich, you're going to sort out some awards?
Yeah, I'll throw a few awards in.
Love it. So we will reveal all those on the podcast as well, of course. But for now, let's just look ahead to Abu Dhabi. We've already talked about that, really, haven't we, Rich? Most important weekend for? Is it important for anyone? Where are we at? Is there anything riding on this now? There are, isn't there?
It's important for Formula One.
Oh.
Because they need to showcase themselves as this sport, which isn't going to be... You know, it's had a lot of... complaints from so-called fans who say it's all boring and dull, and they've been watching for 30 years and they're not watching anymore. I was working but it's Formula One needs to show we're not dead, we're moving forward, we're moving in the right direction, this is why you should watch us, and give everyone that last hurrah for the last race of the season so they come back next year.
I have to say, for a season where there's almost been no title race in either title, I think it's been a remarkably interesting season. I think we've had quite a few subplots. I think the racing's generally been pretty good at most tracks. I mean, there's obviously been some ones. Of course there has, but generally...
Second half of the season has been outstanding, I thought. There was maybe one or two. I think Russia wasn't that exciting, but blame the circuit. But, I mean, the first half of the season, there was quite a few. I mean, the French Grand Prix, that was obviously terrible. But since then, you know, second half of the season, it's been outstanding. And you look at it, I think Leclerc has the most amount of pole positions than any driver this season. And you look at where Ferrari have been, it's like, well, their one lap pace is obviously okay. If he's got that, it's strange.
Yeah, I think overall it's been a pretty good season, really. I mean, I think most people, maybe including ourselves, didn't expect Mercedes to turn up to being as quick as they did. It did look like they were maybe for the first time in a long while on the back foot, but they dominated the first half, so it was kind of a pretty much of a repeat of what we're all used to. But yeah, the second half, I mean, there's been a lot of different people on the podium, or different drivers on the podium. From race to race, you know, there's been different race winners. It's not all been more of the same. I think there's been some really good racing throughout the whole of the season, you know, not just, you know, with the front running guys as well. There's been some good racing in the midfield. I think the midfield for me has probably been the closest it's been, you know, out of quite a lot of teams for a long while, you know, because even that in was kind of starting to sort of separate, you know, in various areas between various teams. So I think it's been really good, you know. It's why, as I said earlier, I think it's maybe a little bit of a shame that 2021 rules are coming so soon, because I think maybe another season, I think you'd really probably see the closest has been, you know, because they're all getting closer to each other. You know, obviously there's still a gap between the midfield and the front runners, but I mean in those two sectors, if you like, I think they're all as close as has been for a very long, long while. But yeah, I think it's been a really good season. I mean, say it's been a long season, but I think it's gone really quick.
Yeah, well, the second half of the season has gone by in a flash. From that, I thought that was just me, but it sounds like we're all agreeing with it. It'll be in December, won't it? The race in Abu Dhabi. Has that ever happened? First one ever in December. It's only going to get worse, isn't it?
Yeah. As far as I'm aware, because I mean, when you go all the way back to different decades, I mean, they used to sort of finish, you know, I mean, they never finished in November. I mean, so obviously it wouldn't have gone in December as far as I'm aware, unless Rich can tell me anything different.
Not that I remember. I don't remember ever going to December, but...
Well, there we go. Nuts, and it's only going to get worse when we have 25 races, which I think is the plan. So
yeah, I mean, I love F1. I'm going to miss it. We mentioned it, I'm actually away, so I'm going to miss the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. So I'm going to have to watch it when I get back and try and avoid the result and everything.
Well,
so.
I mean, I was thinking, but the last years we watched live, didn't we? We watched the last race, but I think Norwich are playing Arsenal on that Sunday, so I'm not even sure how I'm going to watch it, but maybe we'll worry about that another time. And it's worth a point reiterating that every year what's that Rich?
Kickoff, I think, of the Arsenal game is 2 p.m.
yeah,
so the race will be probably around 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh no, maybe it's it's 1 o'clock here. It's 4 o'clock there. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm confused myself.
That's because you were there, you see.
I think it's 1 o'clock for here, or 1:10 now, as they
all miss it. Never mind. We can worry about that later. But what I will say is, and I have said this before, as per every year, we won't be podding during the winter break. We have the winter break off. We disappear, work out what we're going to do, and then we return sort of after testing, ready for the start of the season. So don't fear if you don't see us or hear us through the winter. It's entirely normal. That is how we do it. We need a break. So we will do that, and we'll be back on the other side. But of course, let's just get some predictions, shall we? Our final stint. If you want to make some predictions too, the last chance to do it, you have two rules. You have to get them in before the start of FP1, and you have a maximum of 5 predictions you can make. You can get hold of us in all the usual channels to do that, preferably patreon.com/nrf1. Post them in there somewhere. That would be grand. Gents, you can make yours however many you wish to, up to 5. Let's go on, Steve. You look like you're ready for predictions. Blimey. Rattle them off.
I don't ever do them these days, do I? I think let's say Red Bull will win the race again with Verstappen. What? They seem to be going good, you know. Let's go with that. We even get an album on the podium.
Whoa, I love that. Yeah. That has been in the back of my mind, that the best response would be to them all up and just finish on the podium. So go on, Alex.
So we've got any other 3?
No, yeah, I have, mate. One more if you want.
Tell you what about if I drop in one of my really old school ones?
Oh, God. It's going to be a dry race.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, there we go. You know, who knows, hey? Steve.
That's like Ped used to say, Steve's predictions is cars are going to go around the track. And like Rich's predictions is aliens are going to crash on the track. Yeah. That was how it used to be.
That's why Steve won his 2 or 3 titles. I can't remember when it was. 3, Steve knows. Steve knows.
I'll
go on the Rich.
Steve's probably going to finish ahead of me this year because I've ticked my predictions off. And I've really not got many.
Well, the kudos season, points play a part. Just bearing that in mind. But.
Maybe. But... for this one, I'm going to say pole position will be 0.132 ahead of second place.
Very precise.
No team will be classified in consecutive places at the end of the race.
No team?
Yeah.
In the entire classified field?
Yeah. So.
Wow.
That's ambitious.
And, great prediction, that. I like that.
It's what happens when you can't think of anything. So. Bottas will win.
Oh. Can't argue with that.
I'm going to make 3. Those. I'm going to stick with those.
Go on, Valtteri. There's no one like Valtteri when there's nothing riding on it.
Presumably, he's going to have to take an engine penalty, presumably. So he's going to...
Oh, yeah.
We can't change that. Sorry, Rich.
I didn't think of that.
He's going to win it from the back of the grid. What a performance. brilliant. Oh, well, that just leaves me then, doesn't it? Nico Hülkenberg on the podium. Imagine that. That would be brilliant. There you go, Nico. Do that for me. Let's say a George Russell point, and then let's stick Alex Albon in the top 4. I mean, that's just a ridiculous set of 3 predictions, but what the hell. It's going to be one hell of a send-off for Formula 1. Let's hope it's an absolute cracker. That's all I've got, and I think in terms of previewing a race, that is us for this season. If you're listening on all our free feeds or on Patreon, thank you so much. That is edition 257 in the bag. If you want to hear it in full and you're not a Patreon, then go and visit patreon.com/nrf1 and you'll be able to find out exactly how to do that. In the meantime, we will be back, of course, following the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix to review it in edition 258. Who knows where we'll be or who will be with us, but I'm sure it'll be grand. In the meantime, a big thank you to the Rush Cutters for hosting us, as always, and to these fine gentlemen. Steve, thank you so much.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
Cheers, Rich.
Thank you. As Steve says, always a pleasure.
It is indeed. And from me, thank you very much for your time, because we always really appreciate it. Get in touch if there is anything you want to put forward in terms of feedback or chat, because we can always bring it up in the podcast. Until then, let's hope we have a fantastic send-off to the season when we go around Abu Dhabi, and we will see you on the other side. A very good night to you all.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.